Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to the show. Keith, you get in early. Well, you've gotten in early. We'll get to you. But I got a question for you, Sean. Host, at least one of the hosts of Rocket Power. We didn't get what I wanted. We didn't get a load management night for Kevin Durant. We wound up having to play 37 minutes as the Rockets defeat the Wizards. We'll get into the Reed Shepherd stuff. All over the floor. Good night for him. Good night for the team in a bounce back from their loss to the Heat. The Wizards, not real competition. You can kind of do whatever you want, including shoving a guy who I'd never heard of before. If you missed it, deep into the third quarter, Tarison shoves a guy named, Jameer Watkins? Never heard of him. If you haven't heard of him, welcome to the club. He shoved them once to the ground, and then nothing was called. No whistle was blown. The Wizards announcers were shocked, appalled that no whistle had been blown. And then after a bucket by the Rockets, there are a lot of those, back down the floor. Tari gives them another shove. The big story from that is Trae Young came on the floor and got ejected before he played a game. But Tari got ejected as well. One of our favorite things is to talk about Amen Thompson's answer when asked about what he's going to work on in the offseason. He said, my rage. Amen, probably a little rageful still, but we haven't had really any dust-ups. Has Tari taken over as the most terrorful, not an actual word probably, as the most terror-inducing of the Terror Twins?
Terrorizing.
There it is. Terrorizing of the Terror Twins. Has he now taken the mantle? We've got the Vince Williams Jr. incident. Vince Williams running down the floor. Tari bumps him on purpose. Vince Williams lands awkwardly, tears his ACL. About a week later, we've got an ejection. I don't know what Watkins said to Tari. He shoved him a couple times. Tari wanted more and got ejected. In the power rankings of terror, has Tari taken over from Amen?
Yeah, I think in the, just in the terror part, the basketball, yeah, still I'd still take him in. But as far as the, the junkyard dog nature, the I need to work on my rage nature. Yeah, I'll give it. Tari, this offseason.
Work on your rage.
Let's work on the rage.
Turns out terrorful is a word. So okay. I lucked out there. But yeah, terror inducing probably a better fit for what we're describing. So Tari.
Biggest terrorist.
Well.
That's Dorian Finney-Smith. Well, in the basketball zone.
Dorian Finney-Smith. Sure. As far as contracts given out.
And as a knock-on effect of Amen Thompson injuring his ankle in the game, Jabari Smith injuring his ankle, last week?
Sure.
And Tari Eason being ejected, DFS helped close it out by being on the court.
Yeah, he happened to be there as the Rockets.
I was like, wait, why is he out there? And then I went through the checklist of everyone. He was
Tari
out.
Gone because of an ejection. Amen hurt and Jabari hurt. Someone's got to play. You want Jeff Green out there?
Honestly?
Well,
Jeff Green's mere presence causes teams to double-team him for no reason, so maybe maybe you want Jeff Green out there instead of Dorian Finney. I'm going to call him by his name, Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yeah, and that between that and Kevin Durant, literally just passing the ball to the Wizards in the last
I don't know what
minutes.
That was. He shoved
he
someone.
Twice.
And that's why he was so frustrated. Was it Bub Carrington who he shoved to the ground or something like that? It was a very eventful last couple, like 14 minutes of the game. You include the Tari incident, and then at the very end, you had the Kevin Durant incident. In the middle of it, it was a runaway victory for the Rockets. That got closer than you would like. That's why Kevin Durant was still on the floor. But he had two back-to-back turnovers, and then he shoved the guy to the ground, probably because of his frustration.
And the two back-to-back turnovers, they were not just like dribbled off my foot, out of bounds. It was like, I am throwing the ball towards your basket, and you will score.
Yeah.
Like, it is just like easy 2 points. So, and what, 5 points in three Kevin Durant plays?
You could understand maybe the mind is not as locked in. You're playing the Wizards. This game is over.
That's
you're not concentrating.
That's the vibe I got the entire game. Because there were some points where I would describe as all-star-esque. Just like back and forth. Because the Wizards want to move the ball, get up and down the court. And so it just plays into what the Rockets, it's like a Jedi mind trick of what the Rockets also struggle doing, which is like not turning the ball over. So it's like forcing the Rockets to play faster because they keep getting steals and are wide open, but then they'll throw the ball all over the gym.
Yeah, if the Wizards were more competent and were better at basketball, sucking the Rockets into this type of game
might have... the Rockets would have won by more.
Yeah, it's true. If they weren't able to suck the Rockets into this type of game, the Rockets just playing normal basketball win this game in a way that maybe Kevin Durant isn't on the floor late to throw the ball away a couple of times, but it is what it is. It's a sleepy evening in the D.C. area, and the Rockets get a win.
I was literally doing the math in my head of like, oh, they're up like... whatever, 13 with 2 minutes left. I was like, this is actually like, it's basically impossible to give this game away unless you literally start throwing the ball to the, oh, and then Kevin Durant got double teamed and just turned to the guy who was double teamed and just threw the ball.
He has 6 total turnovers. It's not a great night for him. Alperen had 8.
Yeah. It hasn't been a
32 and 13. Great. 8 turnovers. Concerning. Yeah. It's just a night where you're going to win this game. You could kind of name your own score, and you could see there's a loss of focus. You feel like you're in an open gym, going up and down the court. You're not playing a real basketball game in some sense, so you get a little sloppy.
Yeah, you're up, or I guess it's like a relatively close. I mean, it was like tied after the first quarter, but it was like a relatively, you know, comfortable lead throughout for the Rockets, and you just... whatever. This is just one of those things. It happens. It's a terrible game. There's a guy involved in a fracas who, A, has yet to play with the Wizards, and B, there's another guy who literally the first time I heard of him was last night with Watkins, Jameer Watkins.
Correct.
Hope all the best for him.
He got shoved and landed and was able to get up, so that's progress when it comes to Tari making contact with people unnecessarily.
That is true.
Thankfully, Jameer Watkins did not tear up his ACL like Vince Williams Jr. did in Tari's last altercation with a player.
With all these guys that are playing on the Jazz and Wizards in March, I just wish them the best in their basketball careers.
Yeah. Vince Williams hanging on, trying to find a way, and of course now he's got to recover. Jameer Watkins, at least he was drafted by the Jazz. I don't know if he ever made an appearance because draft day trades and everything, but he was drafted by the Jazz in this last draft, and now he's a Wizard. So hopefully Jameer Watkins, whatever becomes of him, he at least gets to finish the year playing basketball, unlike Vince Williams Jr. That happened. Rockets win. Reed Sheppard was like all the things beyond shooting. Like, he was fine beyond three, but he didn't shoot the ball particularly well overall, but the assists, the steals, the rebounds. He had a good night. I don't know if it's his best all-around game. I know some people were throwing that out there because of how he filled the stat sheet. Context being thrown in, certainly a lot of people mentioning, well, it's the Wizards. So, and we kind of talked about the nonsense of playing the Wizards in March and how that game went if you didn't get to see it. So he was productive. He played a lot of minutes. And because it's always engagement season on the internet, people are like, look what Reed Sheppard did. How could Ime allow him to rot on the bench? Meanwhile, Reed Sheppard's playing the 6 most minutes on the team. He's like at 25 minutes per game, a minute less than, I think, Tar Eason. So the narrative that he just wallows on the bench game after game is stupid for anyone who actually watches the Rockets. He plays quite a bit. You can call him their sixth man, however you want to describe it. But as far as non-starters, he plays the most minutes. So I think that narrative is a little overblown. Maybe you want to see that minute total get up into the 30s. I'm not sure last night's going to change Ime's mind. In fact, I know it won't.
I was gonna say.
Because we have sound. Here's Ime Udoka. Of course, he's asked a question. Jabari's expected to come back in their next game. So Ime Udoka was asked a question about what his future starting lineup will be, and here's the answer.
Is Jabari still on track to return against Golden State?
Yeah, that's the plan.
When he returns, what do you anticipate your starting lineup looking like?
Probably back to the original. Yeah.
That's it. If you had hopes of Reed's last couple games turning the tide to him becoming a starter because you like the spacing, you like what he can do, when a lot of attention is paid to Şengün or Durant, it's not going to come as a starter. Now, will his minutes increase? You can hope for that, but the lineup will be the lineup. Look, whether our speculation, and it certainly is reckless, whether Reed Shepherd is an Ime guy when it comes to prototype of what he's looking for his basketball team, we can have differing opinions on that. But what the lineup is the lineup. We know what he values. And Reed Shepherd has not cleared a bar where he's going to take one of his wings out of the lineup for him. It might make you feel better to have what you consider a traditional point guard. Not that Reed Shepherd is a traditional point guard. He just happens to be the smallest guy who's a ball handler. So he's being labeled a point guard. He wasn't really a point guard at Kentucky. But maybe you want to develop him into that. I know the visions of Mark Price were in people's heads when he initially was drafted. That was one of his comps. Maybe that comes when he's 25, 26, as opposed to what his age now. He is a combo guard for a team who doesn't value the point guard spot unless your name is Fred VanVleet.
Yes, unless you're like the classic point guard, like you are an actual like 90s floor general style point guard like Fred VanVleet. Yeah, whatever. We can get a 6'8" guy.
You're less than 6'5"? Yeah. Beat it. Get out of here.
Someone else.
We're not going to play you 30 minutes tonight, particularly if you're 6'2".
Yeah.
We don't want small guys on the floor.
Yeah, I think I can actually understand Reed Shepherd not starting. I do think like fourth quarter, like he needs to be in the like fourth quarter closing or thereabouts.
At least the possibility.
Right? Yeah, like that's where you really need the shooting because that's where the Rockets offense like really bogs down is that it's so like A, cramped space, B, just like the ball doesn't move. There's not really anything happening off the dribble other than either Durant or Şengün, you know, post-ups or isolations where when Reed Shepherd's in the game, hey, you can run a pick and roll with someone. You can actually run a pick and roll and defenses have to respect the ball handler shooting at some point. That's a new thing for the Rockets. That's not a thing they really get anywhere else other than Kevin Durant on the Rockets. So I think just as far as like the, you know, making stuff happen on offense part, I think that's where like Reed Shepherd does have a skill set that like no one else on the team has.
Yeah. And more ball handling would be great because of beyond the turnovers. Like Kevin Durant's not averaging the most turnovers of his career. He's above 3, which isn't great, but he's had higher numbers than that as a player. But Albert Şengün, far and away his highest turnover season of his career, hadn't surpassed 3 in any season up until now. Now he's over 3, so less responsibility for Alperen possibly. When you have a better ball handler on the floor, that might alleviate some of the issues they have turning the ball over late, which they seem to come in bunches because of the pressure being turned up in clutch situations. The Rockets aren't great in the clutch. I don't know if that game classifies because it did eventually get to 5. I'm not sure how that works when the game is well in hand, but I think it's like under 5 minutes game within 5. It becomes a clutch game. Not sure how that one will be put in stat-wise because we know we can dredge a stat up about anything. Reed Shepherd's numbers apparently were the first time since or mimics some legend of the past because he scored 19, had the 10 assists, all this stuff.
There's a ridiculous list where it's like Rockets players to have done this.
Yeah, I think it's Hakeem. And
just the list of the best Rockets players
and
of all time.
Reed and then maybe someone else.
I think it's like Scottie Pippen who not one of the greatest Rockets player of all time, but when you see him on a list, you're like,
yeah,
that's got
to. Yeah, he was a great player. Yeah. He happened to spend some time with the Rockets.
So. I think Reed Shepard's like the worst player on the list. Well, like it's one of the or. Yeah, I mean, it's him or Steve Francis.
That's why.
Whatever. Debate amongst yourselves.
That's when. Yeah, sure. We're not going to have that conversation. That's why when. How could Ime watch this and let him sit? Because people see those stats and think it really means anything. Keith, you want to talk NBA? Or at least you got a question for me. We'll get to that. Anyone else want to join us? 713-780-3776. We will be back.
This is ESPN 97.5.
In the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Keith. He called in very early. In fact, before the show actually started, and he's held, so let's get to him now. Self-proclaimed top three caller. Keith, what's up?
Hey guys, top three caller, consistent caller, you know, since 2022. You know, my question is, Dell, 60 games into the season, big enough sample size here. You know, the Denver Nuggets have a top two player in the league in Jokic, but this offseason, they traded away a player that they won a championship with in 2023, Michael Porter Jr., oft-injured Michael Porter Jr. He's now in Brooklyn. He's top 15 in the league in scoring. I think he's averaging close to 25 a game. They acquired Cam Johnson, a wing, plays the same position as Porter. He's only averaging 10, 11 a game. You know, this is a Nuggets team. You know, they fired Malone, which was kind of a, you know, something that I disagreed with and was kind of shook the league because he won a title with them so recently. But this Porter Jr. for Cam Johnson trade, looking at it right now, Del, you guys are NBA heads. Did the Nuggets basically close their title window with that trade? What do you think?
I will say this. As has been said a lot, someone's got to score on terrible teams. Michael Porter Jr. shooting the ball fine, but he was a guy who wanted a bigger role. He did not want to be the fourth guy with Denver. Cam Johnson, fine being the fourth guy. When you get stuck in Brooklyn, you probably are fine. You just want to get out. He's fine. He's cheaper as well, so that helped. I think the Nuggets got a pick in exchange as well. I think Michael Porter was seen as the better asset. So if I remember the trade correctly, it was him and a pick, Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson's numbers are fine. I know there is some discontent with Denver fans just reading some of the things because it seems like when they need a big shot from him, he doesn't make it. But if you just look at his numbers, shooting over 40% from three, yes, the 11.2 points per game, but he's their fourth guy when Aaron Gordon is healthy. They needed a guy who maybe understood his role better than Michael Porter Jr. did. And Michael Porter Jr. is a guy you couldn't count on because of injury. He played as well as he could going through the shoulder injury last year. And, of course, I say that, and Cam Johnson's been out quite a bit this year. He only played 37 games. Meanwhile, Michael Porter's played 48. But I think it was a lot of things that led to that trade. They thought Cam Johnson would be a better fit in the playoffs. He's cheaper. And sometimes guys want to spread their wings, even if you do have to do it in Brooklyn. And you see, at least we had the conversation early in the season about Tari Eason. Tari Eason is a guy who the Rockets couldn't come to a deal with. And he let it be known that he wanted a bigger role. Maybe a play or two run for him. I don't know that that's happened this year, but it's something he wanted, and it may contribute to those two, being Tari Eason and the Rockets, not coming to an agreement because the guy simply wants out. Kuminga, same. It happens. Guys look at where their status is on their current team, even if they're successful, and go, hey, if I want to be the player I think I can be, it can't happen here because if you look at the Rockets, who's Tari Eason going to leapfrog over? As far as usage for this team, won't be Durant, won't be Şengün. So far not Amen, and everyone who isn't Ime wants Reed Shepard to get more opportunities. So the trade, I think, we'll see how it bears out in the playoffs. They got to get Aaron Gordon back. And Cam Johnson has to prove himself to be a guy who can take and make big shots, play better defense than Michael Porter Jr. does and did. And I think that's not in question. I think he will do that. But fits are important. The Nuggets didn't need a guy who wanted to score at this point 24.5 points per game. That's not how they're built. Michael Porter Jr. wanted to be a guy that did that, and now he gets his opportunity in Brooklyn. And by the way, he already has a title. I'm sure he's looking for more than competing for that. He wants to establish himself as more than just Denver's fourth best player. So I think that's why that trade work happened. We'll see if it works out for the Nuggets.
Yeah, the biggest problem with the Nuggets, 23 games played for Aaron Gordon.
And Jokic has missed a significant amount of time as well.
Yeah, 46 out of their 62.
For Aaron Gordon. So they're a half game behind the Wolves. They're pretty close to the Rockets. So they've been able to survive. They're only, a game out of the third seed. So despite the injuries, the Nuggets are still there. And they'll be a contender, at least to make a Western Conference Finals, depending on who they get in the second round, if they can get out of the first round.
Yeah, that's where I do think it's too early to say their title window is closed. Even though it's been 60 games of the regular season, because, like you said, they're right in there. And honestly, they're behind the Rockets. Does anyone think that the Rockets are going to make a longer run than the Nuggets?
Not at full health.
Better equipped? I guess the Nuggets could just run into the Timberwolves in round one.
Sure. But if we're talking about fully, if you
teams that can win the championship,
I would take the Nuggets before I took the Rockets.
Yeah.
So run over. I mean, the run simply might be over because the Thunder are a death machine and the Spurs are coming too. That might, and we've talked about how the Rockets window may not actually exist because those two teams exist. But the Nuggets, as we said, I take them before I'd say the Rockets can win a title. All right, thanks for the call, Keith. Appreciate it. Self-proclaimed top three caller. I don't know what your consistency calling from 2022 means. This show didn't exist, so it doesn't matter to this show. You may have called the other shows, but that don't matter here as far as the voting is concerned.
And for the morning show, 2022, that means
nothing. That's a blink of an eye compared to how long they've been around. 2022.
I was ready for a longer time frame than 2022. I've worked here in 2022.
Yeah, what are you doing? That's not a claim to fame. I've been calling since 2022. You better. You can do that in 10 years. If you're still around calling shows, then if you've been calling for over a decade, maybe someone will hear your stump speech to be one of the top three callers, but not now. You're new blood. We'll go to break with that. Thanks for the call, Keith, after we eviscerate you after you're gone. We will come back. Certainly we'll get to some NFL stuff as now that we've had more than 24 hours, in fact, considering when the show started, more than 2 hours to digest the David Montgomery trade. We can talk about that. If we care about the grades are in. The Texans didn't get a good grade on their Montgomery trade. There is one era ending in Houston, officially, it looks like. Well, it'll be official at one point. We'll talk about that as far as the Texans are concerned. And we'll hear from Bill Simmons on Kevin Durant. This guy votes, by the way. This guy has a vote when it comes to all NBA teams. And he may be using something that has no basis in fact to keep Kevin Durant off of one of the All-NBA teams. We'll talk about that as well. We're just getting started here. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to... Do I have to call him this when I know who this is? I know he called it. I guess everyone has if you take on a moniker, we will acknowledge you. But because you didn't call under your real name, you have to wait. That's the deal. If you want to call in under your real name, we'll get to you immediately. But since you decided that nickname is something you want to choose, you can wait. So he wants to talk football. Let's talk some football before we get to him. A grade is in for the Texans and their trade of Juice Scruggs, a fourth and a seventh for David Montgomery. So when we talked about it initially, we didn't know exactly how much the Texans would have to pay Dave Montgomery. We were still going off of what his contract was for the Lions. And, of course, things change when you make a trade. So the cap hit for the Texans will be $6 million in 2026. And in 2027, when he's 30 years old, it'll be $9 million. We'll see if Dave Montgomery is getting paid $9 million by the Texans as far as the cap hit is concerned at 30 years old. But at least for this year, $6 million running back, which is at minimum probably $2 million cheaper than some of the top backs were possibly earning. Like Kenneth Walker, 8-10, Travis Etienne, 8-10. Those are the guys as far as annual dollars.
Breece Hall probably getting tagged.
Yeah, stuff like that. So they are getting someone, if you think he's those type of backs, on a discount. Are we sure that Dave Montgomery at 29 years old, who had the opportunity to run behind that Lions offensive line, is Travis Etienne or Kenneth Walker? So I get it. You go like, look, guys, we're going to have to pay these two guys if we wanted them more money. But is he as good as those guys? As he was getting phased out in Detroit, and rightfully so, when Jahmyr Gibbs is there, maybe you don't want to pay a backup running back that type of money. You just go with one of your own recent picks, whether it be a lower-round draft pick or unrestricted free agent that you have. You'll go with them. Or maybe the Lions go and draft another back that complements Jahmyr Gibbs as they're about to give him money. So on its face, you're like, hey, cheaper, just as good, but are we sure David Montgomery, if the Texans were in the market for a free agent running back, does he stack up to Etienne or Kenneth Walker? That would be my pushback when people are so gung-ho about it won't cost as much. He's fine. He's better than fine.
He's like a starting NFL
starting caliber running back.
Which is more than what they had last season.
Yes. And we saw the issues a rookie had because of the offensive line. And we saw what Joe Mixon was able to do behind, I guess you would say, a more talented offensive line in 2024. Maybe they were less cohesive. Maybe they were more poorly coached. But if you include Tunsil and Shaq Mason and Titus Howard, by name alone, they are probably more talented now than the team or the O-line in 2025. Now Ed Ingram performed above expectations, but you did have a rookie at left tackle, Jake Andrews. We all know the deal. So we can go back and forth if we so choose to torture ourselves about which one was better, 24 or 25. But you had Joe Mixon, who made a difference. Can Dave Montgomery, and I'm not even going to go if the season started today, this is what the O-line would be. We expect improvements. How good those improvements be throughout the course of the offseason, that's up for debate. That's up to Nick Caserio. Can Dave Montgomery give them the type of impact that Joe Mixon did? They're different backs. Joe Mixon's probably a more creative runner at that point compared to what Dave Montgomery is now. I feel like he's more straight line. He hits hole, Dave Montgomery. We saw Joe Mixon's creativity when it came to making guys miss or just breaking tackles. I don't expect the same type of impact. But then again, I didn't think Joe Mixon was going to be as impactful because the Bengals are trading him away for like a seventh-round pick. So is Dave Montgomery, at his age, more product of what the Lions put in front of him? And we know the Texans are unlikely to match it. That'll be the test. They do have a solid one, not a great one, but number one back, but at least a back that you know can be productive in the NFL. That's still up for debate with Woody Marks. As much as people were encouraged by some of the flashes, the numbers are the numbers. He was not that productive. I'm not even blaming them, but I'm just going by what the numbers told me. They needed more help. They got it. You aren't drafting a back early, but I would not be against finding a back on day three that you like. You can improve on Dare or Jawar Jordan, possibly. It doesn't need to be over for the running back position, because even if David Montgomery is what they hope him to be, he's not a long-term solution. So is Woody Marks that guy?
Maybe. I think he could be.
Maybe.
It's like it's 50-50.
I would not be against them if it gets to day three and they see a guy they like, still adding to the running back room with the draft pick. would not be against that.
I'm guessing Mike Washington from Arkansas
probably won't be available.
Ran his way out of the fifth round.
Probably. How big he is and how fast he is probably okay. ran his way out of a fifth round draft.
Out of that fifth round pick you got Titus trade.
Yeah, he probably is a day two pick, Mike Washington. 6'2", 228, running the way he did.
Ran like a 4.3.
Yeah. I'm going to go with he won't be available on day three.
He is getting emotional because he knows how much money
he had. That 4.33 at nearly 230 pounds or 225 pounds, what he weighed in at the combine. He's above.
Yeah.
He's far past where the Texans would be picking up.
That's fair. I understand that.
Yeah.
Considering like Gerard Jordan was a sixth round pick.
Yeah. Unlikely.
Like, that's what they normally look like.
Yeah. Guys who run that fast, they're generally under 200 pounds.
Yeah, they're normally like, I'm worried about how small they are to be running back in the NFL, not Mike Washington.
Yeah.
Who also is named like a guy who's a big NFL player.
Yeah, he does not sound like a small man.
Mike Washington.
Mike Washington sounds like a big man, and he's a big back who runs really, really, really fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree that like it's a little bit like starting pitching and baseball, where it's just like you're gonna need more than two. You know, you can put two on the poster or on the social media graphic and be like, look at our running back backfield and
the duo.
Yeah, all the feel goods. Like, chances are at least one of these guys is gonna miss two games at some point in the season. So you really do need like at least a third guy that's like playable.
Yeah,
that is. You know, I'd say a step above Dare and Gerard Jordan, who had one or two pretty nice games, but that was also as like the third string running back being pressed into action. So, yeah, I agree that either a, you know, very small, like veteran minimum type, you know, Nick Chubb 2.0 type deal, where Nick Chubb or the Nick Chubb type, not like literally Nick Chubb, because I feel like he's a little duplicated with what Montgomery does, but that like should be cheap enough to where that's doable to be your third string running back, and you feel better with that type, a Nick Chubb type, being your third string than week one last season being your starter.
Yeah.
So I think that there's, I mean, with everything on the offense, and there's still work to be done. Shout out to Nick Caseria, but I think the David Montgomery trade. Ultimately, I'm like, yeah, all right. Like, wasn't it overpay? Like, sure. I'm also not really, like, sweating a fourth rounder versus fifth rounder. It's, like, not that important to me. And you get the certainty of, like, all right, got the running back. We're not going to get in a bidding war or anything in free agency.
Well, it is important to ESPN, which gave it a D.
Yeah.
Felt like they gave up too much, of course. The national media also thought they gave up too much to get Will Anderson.
I also think people just like 29-year-old running back sucks.
That immediately is like, you hear that? You know, okay, he's over the hill.
There just shouldn't be a 29-year-old running back in the NFL, according to like,
it feels
the,
like
the analytics folks.
Yeah. If you even approach 30, if
out
you're
here.
Even in your upper, even if you're not 30, you're just in your high 20s, it's like, beat it. Get out of here. Why? You're not a valuable member of NFL society anymore.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so I do think some of that's like a little bit like, all right, yeah. I get it. I understand that there will be like some slippage from when he was 25. Also, like, we're just looking for a decent running back, folks. Like, I think he can do that.
And here is the reasoning why.
Part is this of Barnwell? The reasoning.
No, it's not Barnwell.
Okay.
He was, an aging 29-year-old in June, early down back, whose prior team had been phasing him out, it's not worth spending real resources on. It surprises me that Detroit was able to lure a 4-7 swap here, since the Texans could have found comparable expected production for far less. So the value, the age, all that played into that grade. Yeah.
They're phasing him out for some bum named Jahmyr Gibbs.
I know.
Oh, what an a-hole. Got his job taken by Jahmyr Gibbs.
He should be on the street.
Same thing's going to happen when Woody Marks is behind him.
That feels unlikely.
We really got a problem.
Yeah. Let's get to a man who decided to call himself Jive Turkey. Jive Turkey, what do you want to talk about?
For the record, this is a classic case of miscommunication. Sean can attest to this. When I call in, I state what it is Jive Turkey. Mm. he took that as my name. I did not say my name to Jive Turkey. I wouldn't ever say my name to Jive Turkey.
Okay.
That's the first thing.
Got it.
Now, I have been on this Tyree Easton about how he shouldn't get paid, blah, 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 because he missed so many games. So now I say Trent Williams. He wants all this money. No, dude, you're a $23 million player, because if you go 25% of what you want, 28, you know, 21 to 23, that's a little more than 25%. But that's what you are. You miss so many games every year that why are we going to give you 28? We'll give you 21 to 23, sure. But all this crying and bitching and moaning every single offseason, I'm tired of it. Trade his ass. Have a good day.
Julian, because there was a miscommunication, has been on the get rid of Trent Williams. He's asking for too much money for a good bit now. Now, Trent Williams did play 16 games last year, 10 the year before, 15, 14, 15, 14. So he has probably played more games than Julian thinks. But when it comes to, hey, every week you're worried about your guy, he's on the injury report, is he available, is he not? He's playing in games and getting pulled out of games. I'm sure it gets a little wearing on a fan, particularly when this guy is of such importance to what the 49ers want to do. He is 37. Well, he'll be 38 going into next season. Still asking for lots and lots of money. The problem for you, Julian, is Trent Williams doesn't think like you think. Trent Williams thinks you should be paying me for what I did and how important I am. And look, how hyped do you get when I walk out there and this guy next to me with the giant boombox and we come out here all hyped?
I think the boombox is worth
an extra couple mil.
5 million difference.
Just think about the hype. Julian, think about that hype.
The aura.
Of the aura of watching Trent Williams walk out of the tunnel with the boombox guy and all the 49ers are dancing to whatever right before Super Bowl that they lose. Think of how many times you've enjoyed that experience. And then watch them lose the Super Bowl. Trent Williams has been part of a lot of those moments for you. Winning NFC Championship games, making Super Bowls. So certainly he thinks he should be paid for what he did as opposed to what he will do in the future. Kind of how it goes with older players.
Yeah.
Honor me for what I was and what I still think I'm capable of. And that's the 49ers' dilemma.
Or let him go.
Or you can do that.
We got a spot for you, Trent Williams. Well, you, I'd gladly overpay for Trent Williams.
Yeah. While
1 year of Trent Williams?
Well, the 49ers may be put in a position, maybe, where they have to make a decision, and that decision winds up with Trent Williams no longer being on the team. I don't think that Trent Williams is giving anyone a discount.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I don't think he's going to go on the open market and go, you know what, just to stick it to the 49ers, I'm going to take less to play here. Because I love Wildcat.
Hey, you're from Texas.
You love Wildcat.
Like 4 hours away from Houston, but you're from Texas.
John told us when he was on the street, when the Texans could have had him years ago, he was playing at Wildcat.
There we go. See? Come on.
I don't know if that's going to be enough of a draw.
Come on, please.
Come
please.
On. We're just begging. I don't think that's going to work with Trent Williams.
Please, Trent Williams.
I'm sure defensive ends were begging at points, and it didn't matter then. Don't know if it's going to matter with
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
We'll get to Kurt here because this could go poorly for me or great. We'll see. He's got a nickname. We're going to make Kurt wait. Just because I'm not sure how this is going to go. We got to go to break anyway. So if you want to call in after Kurt, you can 713-780-3776. Closing out hour one. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
What's up, Uso? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.